The Force Field is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
From Charlotte, North Carolina, for IT service providers, it's The Force Field with Rick Savoia. And now, here is your host, Rick Savoia.
Greetings, providers. Welcome to the unofficial podcast for IT service providers, The Force Field. I am your host, Rick Savoia, and during the next half hour, we'll cover the news, views, reviews, and interviews for and about the IT industry and the Force Field community. Our call-in segment is open to all listeners Saturday nights from 10:30 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern. Call 407-278-5698. That's 407-278-5698. Or you can call in via Skype at Savoia Computer if you would like to be part of the show. In our last episode of The Force Field, we talked with an IT service provider who took a course in business planning, discussed what he learned from it, and how he used the course to create a plan for his own business. Today we'll continue our discussion with him and find out how his business plan helped his business become more successful. But first, let's take a look at what's going on elsewhere in the IT industry. A study on laptop reliability listed Asus as manufacturer of laptops with the lowest malfunction rates within a three-year period. The study, released by warranty firm SquareTrade in November, placed Asus at the top of the list of nine laptop makers for reliability with only a 16% failure rate, followed by Toshiba and Sony. Interestingly, Apple was fourth with 17.4%, and Dell came in fifth with 18.3%, beating Acer with a 23.3% failure rate. The laptop maker with the worst reliability of all nine was HP, with over 25% of its laptops breaking down within the first 3 years. The report can be downloaded at squaretrade.com/pages/laptop-reliability-1109. In a related story, RescueCom reports that Apple is number one on its reliability list in the third quarter this year, with IBM Lenovo at number two and Asus coming in a distant third. RescueCom, which provides on-site and remote computer repair and support, published its computer reliability report for the third quarter 2009, December 7th. The complete report is available at rescuecom.com/rescuecom278.html. How many times has this happened to you? You're at your repair bench with a half a dozen machines that have to go out the door today when you get a frantic call from a customer about a computer problem that has to be fixed yesterday. So you leave the bench, pack up all your tools, and drive out on site only to find a minor issue that took only a few minutes to fix. Well, the next time, work smarter. Put down the toolbox, the keys to the truck, and try GoToAssist Express, the remote support service from Citrix. With GoToAssist Express, you can resolve issues faster, reduce your travel costs, increase customer satisfaction, and move on to another task or customer more quickly. I've used GoToAssist Express when supporting my customers, and it works great for me. It not only cuts down on my travel time and expenses, but it allows me to resolve problems quickly so the customers can get back to their computers and I can move on to the next job and earn more revenue for my business. I want you to try GoToAssist Express free for 30 days. For this special offer, you must visit GoToAssist.com/techpodcast. That's GoToAssist.com/techpodcast. Get the free trial, try it yourself, and let me know what you think. Work smarter with GoToAssist Express. Intel unveiled a 48-core processor this month. The processor, a prototype demonstrated in Palo Alto December 2nd, can operate on as little as 25 watts and is said to be up to 20 times more powerful than Intel processors currently available today. And finally, The Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council released its 14th annual Small Business Survival Index December 1st, in which it rates the best and worst entrepreneur-friendly states in the U.S. According to the list, the top 10 entrepreneur-friendly states were South Dakota, Nevada, Texas, Wyoming, the state of Washington, Florida, South Carolina, Colorado, Alabama, and Virginia. Among the most unfriendly states was New Jersey, with a Small Business Survival Index score of 84.730. At the bottom of the list was Washington, D.C., which, while not actually a state, was nonetheless included as the most unfriendly area in the country for small business at number 51. The complete list and map of entrepreneur-friendly states is available at sbecouncil.org/survivalindex2009. Oh, a footnote at the bottom of page 2 of the SBSI 2009 report adds this, and I quote, "Please note that the District of Columbia was not included in the studies on the state's liability systems, eminent domain legislation, and highway cost efficiency. So D.C.'s last place score actually should be even worse." And that's the news in the force field. I am very particular about what goes in the force field, and I only promote products and services that I either use myself or would use if I needed them. This week I would like to introduce you to a new sponsor who I've been using myself for reliable web hosting to keep the force field online 24/7. GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's hosting plans are bigger and better than ever with 99% uptime, free 24/7 support, and no annual commitment. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99, plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much more. Here's the best part. As a listener of the Force Field, enter the code BLU101 when you check out and save an additional 10% on your web hosting order. You want reliable web hosting at a great price? Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply, so see site for details. That's GoDaddy.com. You're listening to The Force Field, and this is the part of the show I look forward to the most, as it is the opportunity to talk to my fellow professionals in the field. If you'd like to talk, you can call me at 407-CPU-JOY-8. That's 407-278-5698. Or through Skype at Savoy Computer. If you don't have Skype, simply go to the Force Field podcast episodes page at theforcefield.net and click the Skype icon located on the right sidebar. The download is free, the call is free, and the show is free. And you can't beat free. So call in and dare to enter the Force Field. In our last episode, we talked with Pat Palmer, learned about his business, heard how he took a course in business planning, and found out how he created a plan for his business that helped him become more successful. Today we'll continue our discussion with Pat and learn more about writing a business plan. We'll find out if the time spent writing the plan was worth the investment, what his business plan told him about his company, and how having a plan even helped him develop an exit strategy in part 2 of our 4-part series on Planning Your Business. And we're talking to Pat. Hi, Pat. Welcome back to the Force Field.
Well, thank you.
You were bringing up an interesting point earlier about having the business plan ready to show investors. And in the past, I've had discussions with other techs who say that creating a business plan isn't necessary for their business because they say, you know, it's a one-person operation. They aren't planning to get a loan from a bank, so they don't need one. They're thinking in terms of that one aspect of it, showing it to investors. Oh, you know, I finance this myself. I'm not planning to go get a loan. Why do I need a business plan? As someone who is also in business and who has done a business plan for your business, do you agree?
You know, before I took the course, I also said, I don't need a business plan. I know what I'm doing. Then after I took the business plan course, boy, a lot of light bulbs went off. I knew that from what I could see from the business plan, where I was planning on going, I saw I wasn't charging enough. I knew my level of profitability wasn't where I wanted it. I knew a lot of different things after I took the course and after I got some stuff written down. If that person who says they don't need a business plan then also tells you in the next breath that they don't know who their competition is, if they don't know what their competition's charging, if they don't know the reliability or the specials that their competition's running, then they don't have much of a plan for their own success.
You know what I think, Pat? I think a lot of people really do know this in the back of their minds. But I think the real reason is that some folks are hesitant to write one, not because they really think it won't help them in some way, but because they are somewhat intimidated by the prospect of writing one. They think it's too much work and they don't really know where to begin or how to do it, so they don't. Do you think it was really that complicated?
Well, in the way it was presented to me, it wasn't, because each week was a learning module. And about after the third week, you figured, wait a minute, I'm writing my business plan. And I mean, that was a case of, at the time, they gave you these assignments to, let's talk about the industry profile. Let's talk about where research on the web shows you what the median income is of computer repair shops that are under $1 million a year, or, which would be a small business type thing. And they give us various tools on the internet to show us where the current size of the industry, the growth potential, the industry trends. You did your competitive analysis, you did your own analysis, your pricing strategy. So a lot of that, no bankers may really care about that, no investor may really care about some of that. But after I got it done, I thought, man, that's good to know. I mean, it's good to know that the profit margin in businesses like mine have gone down the last 5 years and mine have gone up.
What was the most difficult part for you of writing your business plan?
Selling myself too short. I'm just a one-horse operation, and it's my little town, and I do what I do, and kind of ho-hum, but you kind of have to brag about yourself a little bit in this, because many people don't realize, what potential they have. Probably the other thing is people who think they've got the best business in the world, my business is so great, I'm doing very well. Maybe if they wrote it all down, it would show them that maybe their business isn't doing as well as they thought. I mean, it could be a learning tool that way. Mm-hmm. But really, the hardest part was just talking more about myself and putting down everything I do and just a lot of research. I mean, what really opened my eyes was the competitive analysis. Mm-hmm. My direct competition, knowing what they do, what they charge, and really getting into what is my competition.
What was the easiest part of developing your business plan?
Probably the easiest part was accumulating the data that I already had. I already had past performances, so I just went to my Microsoft Money program. I could spit out the data I needed, put it in the spreadsheet, then I could see where I actually was. Talking about features and benefits, why it's a benefit to have the computer guy work on your computer versus brand X. Talking about your stage development, those are some of the easier parts. The harder parts was the competition part, because if you don't really know who's against you or who's in the same fight, you really don't know where you're at.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, overall, do you think it was time well spent writing it? Was it worth the investment to take the course and to create your own business plan?
Very much. And plus, with the course, and this is kind of maybe an unfair advantage I had, was it was a different county in Iowa. I didn't know anybody there. And this guy, the teacher, says, I guarantee you by the time this course is over, you will be doing business with at least five or six other people in the room. And so after I left the course, you know, even during the course, I was doing business with people on the restaurants, the tire guy, various people who were doing some in-home, their own in-home businesses with copying pictures and whatnot. I had some slides copied, and they did business with me. I mean, financially, I came out pretty well ahead of the $150 I spent for the course, just on money I'd made doing work for the other people in the class. So that was the nice thing. There was 26 people in our class.
Wow.
Ranging from an age 13-year-old kid who wanted to weld long sculptures out of metal, those iron long sculptures like shepherd's hooks and whatnot, to a lady who was 68 years old wanting to teach piano lessons. And people who were buying existing businesses, people who had new businesses, and people had no idea about business. They all walks of life in that room.
Wow. You essentially had a networking group there. So you not only took a course, you were actually doing some networking.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, yeah, I looked online about business plans like a lot of people have, and you saw a bunch of prepackaged business plans. And, yeah, you could just take out their part of whatever is listed under, like, the industry profile. You could just copy and paste and whatever. But until I took the course, I didn't understand what really went into that. Yeah, you can get yourself a business plan program, and you can substitute company X for company Y. Mm-hmm. But until you really know and learn what goes into it, you're just copying and pasting, I feel. You're not really getting a good feel. So if you can line up with a score or a fast track program or anything, and basically at your community college, this is where it would be done, or Chamber of Commerce, talk to your chamber or economic development people. That's where I would start and really take the class and know the nuts and bolts of what goes into it. Downloading a program is fine. Looking at other business plans would be fine. Rick, I'll certainly send you a copy of mine. But until you really learn what goes into it, it's kind of like having somebody explain to you how to tie a tie. Mm-hmm. Until you really do it yourself, you don't know how to tie a tie.
Yeah, I understand. Now, I wrote my own business plan when I started my business right at the very beginning, initially because I had a specific idea of what I wanted to do, where I wanted to take it. And I did have a couple of investors who were interested in the business, and I also wrote it for them. Now, mine, I did it totally from scratch. I mean, I'd read a couple of books on it. I had had little businesses before, and I was not a stranger to doing one, per se, but, you know, I was no expert at it. And I just pretty much laid it out as I saw it needed to be laid out. Now, since then, I invested in some software. Now, I purchased a copy of Business Plan Pro from Palo Alto Software, and I started using that later on to amend my business plan, to update it. And then I realized when I started that, because that's a very serious, you know, it's not one of those little cheesy programs. I mean, it's a very serious, in-depth application for creating a business plan that you're going to send out to investors. And I realized how many things I missed in my business plan. I did take a business course in starting a business, small business, and it did include putting together a business plan, but it wasn't quite that comprehensive. But when I got into the software and I realized, you know, there are areas here that I didn't really touch very well in my initial plan, and I had to, you know, just having the software help. Now, I'm not saying everybody should just run out and go rely on software to do it all for them. This certainly didn't do it all for me. I mean, I still had to do all of the work inputting it, but it gave me a template to follow in terms of what I needed and what I was missing, what I had to have in there. And it did help. It did help.
Sure. Yeah. With the instructor we had, he asked three questions. He says, what's your competitive advantage? What's your wow factor? And give me your elevator speech. And that was also some things that could help us. And once you wrote your business plan, then, you know, the elevator speech is what you can tell somebody about your business from the time you go to the top of a building to a bottom of a building in an elevator. And they really helped us with that, too. So that helped, and so many things helped. Yeah, it's we had templates to work with, that was for sure. And the nice thing, when your template was done, then you just copied the whole thing and pasted it into your master document, and then that was the next phase of your business plan.
Mm-hmm. But overall, I mean, whether you're doing something comprehensive, like the type of business plan that you put together in the course that you took, or whether you're using the software, or whether you're just pretty much doing it from scratch, the most important thing is to have something there to guide you in starting and managing your business, something that you can follow and use as a map so that you can take your business where you want it to go.
Yes,
that's much better than nothing.
Yes, and I noticed that when I went from working out of my home to moving downtown, boy, then I had to write another business plan. And, well, actually, I upgraded the one I had, but I didn't realize how much work went into it just to move six blocks because I had to hire an employee and I had a lot of different things, and all my costs were different because they really, in Iowa, they seem to really like to gouge you if you, you have a business versus your home on some things for rates of cable and internet and whatnot. And so you had to refactor in a whole second set of costs and the cost of doing business, basically. So that's what I think, you know, is one size doesn't fit all. And so if you're going to make a move, you're pretty much going to have to rewrite your business plan to show the changes. And again, you have to redo your competitive analysis, because now when you're working out of your home, your overhead might not be as high. And so maybe you have to adjust your rates a little bit. You have to do this, you have to do that. And so that's just another step of the process you have. But, yeah, if you don't have a business plan for yourself or for your investors or for your banker, but primarily for yourself, I think that you're cheating yourself. Really, you are. You're cheating yourself out of knowing what your full potential of your business can be.
In your opinion, what are the chances of success for someone who has a business plan as opposed to someone who doesn't? How much greater are the chances?
Well, I'm just looking at my statistics, and I can see from 2008 where I started the business plan course in March and got done in May. And even after the first couple of weeks, boy, light bulbs went off, and almost immediately I probably made a quarter more. I mean, my business probably increased 25%.
Wow.
Because I didn't know what was in my business. I was working harder, but not smarter, you might say. Now I'm working smarter. And so I know what goes into it. I know that if I spend money on X, it's going to affect Y. It really, and it's just amazing to see the first 2 months of the year and then the next 3 months, and the rest of the year, how my year went. And I really attribute it to the business plan and the business course I took. And that's just really a testament to how I believe in this.
So it really, no matter if you're just starting out or you've been in the business for a while, having a business plan is crucial to the success of your business, really.
Well, I think, you know, whether you're in first grade or whether you're in 11th grade, you still get a report card.
That's true.
And I think that this is just a report card on your business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every year they do a State of the Union address. I don't think it hurts you to do a State of Your Business examination. Mm-hmm. And even have a good friend or a CPA or accountant or somebody that you trust help you look over and say, Joe, here's what I think you could do, you know, and take their advice. I mean, it doesn't hurt. Or you could, you know, go to your local community college or SCORE or something like that, where they have a lot of different organizations, and present them with some of your numbers. You know, a lot of times they'll maybe have on staff like a retired accountant or retired CPA or retired attorney, something like that on staff, where it's low cost or no cost. There's a lot of incentive money, you know, some of your revitalization money that's been handed out to go to small businesses and small business administrations, where they can just take a thumbnail glance at it and say, hey, I think you're on the right track, or, I mean, I think you need to work on a couple things. And that's when I was thinking about moving downtown, I went to the the local SBA, and we talked for a good hour and a half about the pros and cons of moving downtown. I mean, and he played the role of Doubting Thomas. Mm-hmm. And on his spreadsheet, did right now, we did a 3-year look at what was going to be coming down the road as far as business plan and projected financial cash flow reports, and we did those right at the restaurant.
Hmm. Wow. Well, Pat, I think that's a lot of great information and great advice. Personally, I'm a big advocate of doing a business plan for your business, that it's really important. I think you pretty much confirmed that. You're living proof that a business plan can not just assist you in getting a loan or getting investors, but it can really help you manage your business much better and make your business a lot more profitable.
Mm-hmm. And the last thing they had us do on the business plan program was, what is your exit strategy? Which was valuable, too, because what is your exit strategy? You know, you're not going to be, hopefully I'm not going to be doing this until I'm 85 years old. And it lets you examine what plans you have after you no longer feel like doing this anymore, or you know, it's time to sell out, or you transfer, or you do whatever. It does make you look at your exit strategy as well, too.
That's something that a lot of business owners, entrepreneurs really don't think about when they're starting a tech business. You know, thinking, well, okay, what is my exit strategy? They're just thinking, well, I'm just going to be doing this for a while, and not really thinking about what's going to happen later. But I think that's also important. And you know, in fact, that's a topic for a whole discussion right there. And I think we're going to cover that in a future episode of The Force Field as well. Perhaps we can have you back on. We can discuss exit strategies as well. I think that's a great topic to discuss.
In the meantime, I'll have one.
Okay. Well, Pat, thanks for coming on The Force Field today. Thanks for coming back and speaking with us again today. And what's your website?
www.thecomputerguy.bz, Boy Zebra.
Okay. www.thecomputerguy.bz. Well, Pat, thanks a lot. Thanks for your time on the Force Field today, and we look forward to talking to you again sometime soon.
All right, right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
In our next episode, we'll talk with Tim Berry of Palo Alto Software and conceptual author of Business Plan Pro. He'll discuss the myth about business plans, the real purpose of having a plan, and how a business plan can help you understand your business better in Part 3 of our 4-part series on Planning Your Business. Well, folks, our time is up. I would like to thank everyone for listening, my kids for allowing me to do this without interruptions, and my wife for just putting up with me. If you would like to comment on the program, you can email me at rick@theforcefield.net or visit our website at www.theforcefield.net. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and do not represent The Force Field, Savoia Computer, or advertisers. All music on the show is original and was written and performed by Brother Rancid and the Brand New Pygmies. Our announcer is Felix DeCat. The show is produced and distributed by Savoia Computer. For The Force Field, I'm Rick Savoia. May The Force Field be with you.